Okay, good morning, everybody. So in advance of Purim, you'll notice that the sheet only has Purim topics. So I'm going to maybe just do orally a little bit of the Parsha. Okay, talk a little bit about the Parsha orally. In Tzav is the Korban Todah, the thanks offering. When someone wants to offer thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a variety of reasons, today the Korban Todah is temporarily replaced with Birchat HaGomel. That's what the Gomel benching is, in place of the Korban Todah temporarily. But there's something fascinating about the Korban Todah, in that the Korban Todah is in a general category of Korbanot called Korban Shlamim, peace offerings. A Korban Shlamim is brought with 10 loaves of bread. A Korban Shlamim can be eaten over a 2-day period. The Korban Todah is brought with 40 loaves of bread and has to be eaten in 1 day. How do we understand that, right? We live in a society where most people don't wash except on Shabbos. We're so health conscious, right? Diet conscious. So what's the pshat? So the Netziv says something which is absolutely beautiful. He says that because when a Jew says thank you, the Korban Todah at 40 challahs, it's the ethic of how a Jew says thank you. He is forced to invite other people. He is forced to share his bread with other people. Otherwise, it'll never be eaten. So that is the ethic of how a Jew says thank you. It has to be done together with other Jews. That's the whole idea of the Korban Todah and the 40 challahs. I think it's a beautiful idea. It's only about 3 or 4 lines in the Netziv, and I didn't put it on the sheet. The other element that I want to talk about is the broader issue of Korbanot, which we talked about last week, but I want to deal with a contradiction in the Rambam. Last week, we learned a number of reasons for the Korbanot. We learned the Ramban and the Rambam, and the Rambam, who says that Korbanot, actually there were two presentations of the Rambam, because the Rambam is not clear. So there are two ways to understand the Rambam. But however you understand the Rambam, he gives a reason that it's to disabuse us of the notion of giving korbanot. Right? One interpretation of what the Rambam says is that the ancients offered korbanot to their gods, and that influenced us. We saw the utility in that, and we were doing it too. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned the direction of the korbanot to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, and gave us a mitzvah to utilize that idea of giving korbanot, but giving the korbanot to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to break down the desire to do avodah zarah, to do idol worship, right? The other interpretation of what the Rambam is saying is that these animals were there, in fact, their gods, the ancients, and by taking them and sacrificing them to God, we are also smashing avodah zarah, smashing their idols and using them. But the Rambam gives reason, right? That's in the Mor Nevuchim, in the Guide to the Perplexed. The Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, in Hilchot Me'ilah, at the end of Hilchos Me'ilah, the Rambam says, he's talking about Mishpatim and Chukim. Now we know the difference between a Chok and a Mishpat is a Mishpat is a reason that has a perceived reason, a mitzvah that has a perceived reason. A Chok is a mitzvah that does not have a perceived reason. It's a mystery. There's something mysterious about it. The Rambam writes that HaKorbanot are chukim. No reason. So how do you justify the Rambam in Hilchos Me'ilah with the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim? In the Mor Nevuchim, he's busy giving us reasons, and it's because of Avodah Zarah, to destroy Avodah Zarah, and in Me'ilah, he says it's a mystery, it's a chok. So I want to attempt to answer this question, and to show that really the Rambam is not saying two things, he's saying one thing, by visiting a famous Gemara which is mentioned three places in Shas in our oral tradition. The Gemara says that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, that was the Bezdin of Ezra HaSofer, who gave us our Siddur, our Shmona Esrei. So the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah wanted to get rid the world of the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. Now I should really back up to the very beginning and ask a question. Why don't we have a tremendous passion and a Yetzer Hara to offer karbonos? Now, it's true, we daven for the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash, we daven for the restoration of the Avodah, but what do we say at the end of Shmona Esrei? Va'arva lanu minchat Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. Please, God, make it sweet to us. Make it exciting, the karbonos. But if we're intellectually honest, we're not excited about, I really can't wait till I can get into the Beis HaMikdash as a Kohen, and I can do Malika, and I shecht an animal, I can go bring a korban, right? I'm not talking about the Hamonam, the masses of people, you know, Nebuch, outside of the Olam HaTorah, who bechlal, the idea of korbanot, ain lem musad. It's muzar, it's disgusting, it's strange. You know, today in the world of animal rights, right? Imagine what's going to be when Mashiach comes. The animal rights activists are not going to exist anymore, right? Because their Yetzer Tov is going to overtake their Yetzer Hara, right? But I'm talking about Anshei Shlomeinu. I'm talking about us. If we're really intellectually honest, we don't have a desire, a drive, a passion to offer a korban. Why not? Why not? Right? So the Gemara says that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah davened for 3 days. They fasted for 3 days to remove the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. There was a Yetzer Hara. You know, we know what a Yetzer Hara is, right? A good friend of ours, right? Imagine if you had a Yetzer Hara. They said that in the time before this was done, people had a tremendous Yetzer Hara to do idol worship. They prayed and fasted for 3 days and they were successful. And they removed the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. So while they were at it, they figured, you know, what do we say in Hebrew? We say, laharog shtei tzipurim be'even achat, right? We say in English, to kill two birds with one stone, right? It's actually an expression in Hebrew also, right? I mentioned the other day, I was talking in Hebrew with somebody, an Israeli, and I said to him, you know, I said, ze sus shel tzeva acher, right? That's a horse of a different color, right? He didn't know what I was talking about. Because in colloquial Hebrew, you don't have that expression. But the expression of killing two birds with one stone, you have in Ivrit Chayda. So they said, let's go for broke. Let's destroy the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara for Arayis. The Yetzer Hara for sexual perversion. So they davened. It was working. But what happened after 3 days? Not an egg in Yerushalayim, not a chicken in Yerushalayim laid an egg. Right? So the Chachomim thought, wait a minute, we have a problem here. If we destroy the Yetzer Hara for a riot, we're going to destroy the world. Because there is a flip side to the Yetzer Hara of Arayas. And that's the beauty of the Yetzer Hara for Arayas, which is Lashevet Yitzhara, to populate the world, to have families and children and create civilization. Right? So they abandoned the effort. And there was one little thing that they had left over, but the effort was abandoned. What do you see from this Gemara? What's the chiddush of this Gemara? What's the nuance of this Gemara? The nuance of this Gemara is that every Yetzer Hara has a Tzad HaTov. That there is a Tzad HaTov to every Yetzer Hara. Right? The Yetzer Tov of Arayas is having children, getting married, the attraction to the opposite gender, the opposite sex. Right? The egg, laying an egg, the chicken. So let's go now to Avodah Zarah. What is the egg of Avodah Zarah? What's the flip side of Avodah Zarah? The good Yetzer, the good side of Yetzer, of the Yetzer Hara. You know what it is? It's korbanot. It's offering a sacrifice. It's taking that which was Avodah Zarah and doing it to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Avodat HaKorbanot is the flip side of Avodah Zarah. It's the good side of Avodah Zarah. How do we know that? Because when the rabbis wanted to destroy the Yetzer Hara from Avodah Zarah, and they did. How could they do that? You can't destroy. That's our Bechira. That's taking away Bechira. Mm-hmm. You can't take away Bechira Chavshi. That's the essence of man. The essence of man is the ability to make choices. So it doesn't mean they wanted to take away the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. You can't do that. You can't take away our Bechira. They wanted to take out the entire Sugya. They wanted to take out the entire Parsha of Yetzer. What is the entire Parsha? The natural affinity for man to want to have a relationship with a higher authority, whether it's God or his Meshuggah idol. But there is a natural tendency, a human inclination, to have a relationship with something higher than him, to try to discover some kind of a source of divinity that is before him and after him and that leads the world. That is what they removed, that passion, that drive to have a relationship with a higher authority, with the Ribbono Shel Olam, that they successfully removed when they removed Avodah Zarah. So when they removed Avodah Zarah, they also removed the passion for Karbonos. And that's why we don't have that passion. We have to work at it. We have to daven for it. But it's not naturally part of our persona anymore because the Anshei Knesset Abdullah removed that passion. Therefore, the Rambam is not saying two things. Would you like a sheet, sir? No? So the Rambam is not saying two things. He's saying one thing. In the Mor Nevuchim, he's saying that the reason for Karbonos is to expunge ourselves of Avodah Zarah. And then he says in the same breath, it's a chok, because it is a chok. How in the world can something that is so bad, so evil, Avodah Zarah, be so good? Because it's that passion to relate to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to relate to something higher. By the ancients, they made a mistake. It wasn't about God, it was about themselves. Right? They want to offer a gift to God and have a relationship to God because of me, because it serves my purpose. Right? Like it's like marriage, right? Why do I want to do something? The husband wants to do something for his wife. He wants to buy a house. He wants to buy her jewelry. Why does he want to do that? The non-Jew will say, you know, he's doing this, you know, so she'll serve me. She'll give me a better dinner. She'll give me better this. But for the Jew, it's because I'm serving you, because I want you to be happy. That's the difference between Avodah Zarah and Avodah Hashem and a Korban. Korban is kiruv. It's completely melding myself to the Ribbono Shel Olam, coming close to him. So it's really, that's a mystery. That's a chok. That something which is so good can be so bad if you flip it, if you're not careful with it. And the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Chazal were very worried that it's very easy to cross that line. To cross the line in giving a korban that I'm doing it for myself. In fact, the prophets, the Nevi'im are very, you know, repetitive about the danger of self-serving sacrifices. Okay, now let's get to Purim. Okay, number one on the sheet, I want to save. It's the best. So afterwards, we'll have questions for the video. So let's go to number two. And this is from the Shemi Shmuel, who we have seen before, the Sofet Shavar Rebbe. And he talks about Shushan Purim. And he quotes from our oral tradition from the Gemara, that the Gemara says in Megillah concerning Shushan Purim, Le'asar shelzeh bezeh. What is forbidden on Shushan Purim, on regular Purim, is also forbidden on Purim. The mitzvot hayom of Purim are the same as the mitzvot hayom on Shushan Purim. In other words, if one lives in Yerushalayim, which was a walled city from the time of Yahushua bin Nun, then the din is that your Megillah reading is on Shushan Purim, on Monday. Not only that, but your Suuda is on Purim. Your Mishalach Manas and your Matanas Levyonim are on Shushan Purim. So in other words, there's a parallel Purim going on. That Jews in one part of the world are keeping Purim on one day, and in another part of the world they're keeping Purim on another day, but it's parallel. They're keeping the exact same principles. Why? What's the idea of that? And that's what he wants to address here. Ki hine amru chazal, the rabbis say, Hadur kiblu abimei achashverosh. You know that when we received the Torah at Har Sinai, we didn't fully receive the Torah because it was Kafu Aleim Har Kagigit. We said Nasa V'Nishma, we'll accept it, we'll learn it, but we were also, it was forced on us. So there were certain elements of Torah that we did not accept. Now there's a whole discussion amongst the rabbis what we didn't fully accept on Har Sinai. We didn't accept the oral tradition, we didn't accept the authorities of Chachamim to add to the Torah, whatever it is. But we didn't accept it. But by the time of Purim, Hadur Kibluhu, we accepted the Torah on Purim again. And that's because of the pasuk that Malchus quoted, we'll see in a minute. Umistamek kimoba rishona. And it is probably correct to say that just like the acceptance at the beginning at Har Sinai, Shebilti efshar hayalitena ta Torah ad shehayu Yisrael ki ish echad. It was impossible for the Torah to be given unless there was an absolute unity of the Jewish people. Kemo shekatav, what does it say by Kabbalah Satorah? Vayichan sham Yisrael neged ahar. That the Jews camped facing the har. But what does that say? Vayichan sham is lashon yachid, it's singular. It doesn't say vayachanu b'nei Yisrael. Vayichan sham, singular. We were all one. And if you look carefully at the Megillah, you see that that's exactly what took place at Purim. So in other words, we'll see that because the Pasuk says, Kimu v'kiblu, we accepted the Torah, but if you look at a Megillah, it is not written, that's how we read it, Kimu v'kiblu. But in the Megillah, it's Kiem v'kibel. It's a ktiv and a kri. It's written one way and read another way. We read it in the plural, that the Jewish people accepted the Torah, but we write it, the Jewish people, as one, in a singular language. V'yeshlo marsha kol atzmo. So now he moves along here. Kol atzmo shenispach Haman l'malchut madai. Why did Haman jump into history here at Purim? Why wasn't it enough for Achashverosh to do the evil decrees and carry out the evil decrees? Why did he need someone from Amalek? Right? L'malchut madai. V'lo hayasagi malchut madai levadam ligzor gzerot b'kdei lahachzir et Yisrael l'muta. He says this was done to restore the Jewish people to the right path of tshuva. How so? Haman made us do tshuva. How so? Mihai taimahu dihine be'esav. Let's go back to Haman's roots. Haman's roots are in Esav. Esav k'tiv, by Esav it says, Vayetzeha rishon adumi kulo ka'aderetzeha. He was ruddy, he was red. The Medrash says, Shahaya mefuzar imufurad ka'aderet. Interesting lotion that the language that the Medrash uses. He was mefuzar, he was scattered, and mefurad, he was separated. Very strange definition of Esav. V'kfar perashnu, and we explain mefuzar ben hakochot shel atzmo. What does it mean that he was mefuzar Esav? He was a confused, a conflicted human being. You know, midato hara ze moshcho lekan v'ze lekan. He had no focus, Esav. He was an evil person, and his evil nature wanted him to move in various directions of evil. Ve'in shalom b'atzmo, he was totally not at peace with himself. Conflicted human being. Umize nistafu kochot chitzonim lasot pirud bein ish l'reihu. And that caused him to create machloket and derision and division amongst people. Bein adam l'chaveiro. Umifurad misharsho. And he was mifurad. He was separated from God. Umize nistafim kochot chitzonim limrod bekono. And that caused him to rebel against the Ribbono Shel Olam and to become a non-believer and move away from God. Mefuzar amongst people, right? Mefurad, separated from God. Psulato shel Esav yorash Amalek. This quality, this negative spiritual energy was inherited by Amalek. It was in the genes, the Esav genes, the Amalek genes, the Haman genes. V'al kein nikra kotzeitz שהוא בעל הכוח הרע לקצוץ ולעשות פירוד בין הדבקים. Haman, the Medrash calls the cutter, the kotzeitz katzaim. He cut, he destroyed, he broke apart, he separated. V'zeh me'inyan mefuzar shel Esav. V'gam mered b'kono, the rebellion against God, ki shama'u amim yergazun, v'zeh lehepech, bo v'nilcham imahem, etc., etc. V'zeh me'inyan mefuzar shel Esav. V'hineh, kol ha'posel b'mumo posel. We know there's a famous statement of the rabbis. When someone is critical of another person and says, you're a nasty guy. Well, he must be a nasty guy, because who recognizes a nasty guy faster than another nasty guy? So kol haposel b'mumo posel. That's the general understanding of kol haposel. When someone puzzles somebody up, he's talking about himself. It's his own negative qualities. Al-Kain, Amar Haman. Haman said, L'melech Achashverosh, the king Achashverosh. Yeshno Am Echad. What does he say? Listen carefully to the words of the Megillah. Yeshno Am Echad Mefuzar U'Mefurad. Mefuzar U'Mefurad. That's how he's accusing the Jewish people. Scattered and separated. Bein Ha'amin. So he writes here a very interesting Hasidic thought, that perhaps that negative energy affected the Jewish people also. And we were a little bit scattered. And we were a little bit separate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We did, after all, go to the feast of Achashverosh and enjoy, right? The feast of Achashverosh. In fact, that really was the Aveira, that we enjoyed it. Bad enough that we had to go, but we enjoyed what we did, right? Basher Zeh, Hayatar shlita lahaman hichnis kochot hara ha'el ba'olam upagmu gam Yisrael k'tzat b'inyan zeh. And it's true that Haman's negative energy affected us also. That mefuzar mefurad affected us amongst ourselves. We were a little bit mefuzar amongst ourselves. We were mefurad with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'ba'asher hasarat ha'tabat. When the ring, when Achashverosh took off his ring and put it on Haman's finger, Hichziratan lemutav, hitamsu Yisrael b'chol oz v'chagru sheridonis, v'chazru v'hikashru ba'avien shebashamayim b'tfilu v'bechi v'divrei tzomor v'zakatam heipach mufurad m'shorshah. The effect of Haman, the stunning, shocking effect of what Haman was going to do to the Jewish people, to really scatter us and separate us and destroy us, woke us up, was a wake-up call for us to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. עוד זאת עשו, שהתאחדו כולם יחד כאיש אחד, חברים. We made a 360 degree turn, and the Jewish people unified once again. כמו שכתוב, as it says in the Megillah, ניקהלו היהודים ויקהלו היהודים, that the Jewish people joined together, they came together in community. הפך ממפוזר, the opposite of scattered. Is kihilah shebekochot Esav laasot pirud bein ish l'rei, which Esav Haman wanted to do to separate us. U'machmat shehigishu l'midazu, the Jewish people attached themselves to this, the midah of unity and coming together of kihilah. Zu shehaya me'ein dichtiv b'matan Torah, similar to what we did when we received the Torah. Vayichan Sham Yisrael neged Ahar, the Jewish people encamped as one, vayichan, not vayachanu, l'masha ha'adur v'kiblu abimei Achashverosh. It's exactly what we did in the time of Purim. V'al kein k'tiv v'kibel ha'yehudim v'chein kimu. It says v'kibel in the writing, right? V'kiblu ha'yehudim d'chtiv hu v'kibel. It's written in the Megillah v'kibel. Now we understand what's this business of Shushan, Purim, and Purim. If it's all the same, let's just have one day. Why do we purposefully have two mirror images on the 14th and on the 15th? People in walled cities doing exactly what the people in unwalled cities are doing. Could be in different parts of the world, although today there is no other city besides Yerushalayim that is a walled city. Meaning, we're not talking about China. It has to be a walled city. The Yerushalmi says that was walled mimot Yehoshua ben Nun, from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, right? China didn't exist yet, right? Although maybe in Palestinian history books, even China existed then.
What about Akko?
But Akko was a walled city in the time of Yehoshua ben Nun.
Today.
What?
They keep Akko.
Do they? Samaria? I don't think so. I'm not sure. This is my first Purim here. I'm going to have to check out the geography.
Okay.
In any of that, I don't know. So, but Yerushalayim for sure. So you don't have like cities at the time. It was a time you could have had cities in different parts of the world. But what's the utility of having these parallel observances when you could really do it once? He says that's why it's this act of unity, to act out this ultimate unity. Umeata muvan lama hutzrach sheistapeach Haman lamalchut. Why Haman came to power? Right, the anti-forces of Mufuzar of unity. Ulefiha amur yuvan shegam ledorot tiknu sheyu hapurim bezmanim chalukim velasor et shalzeh bezeh Purim and Shushan Purim lehorot shekol Yisrael mekablim zeh mizeh, that we're all together. We do the exact. It's a funny thing. We do it on different days, but we do it exactly the same in order to demonstrate our unity. Vehem ki ish echad chaverim. Even though we appear to be different, because it's on a different day, where we're dispersed in so many lands, there's so much distinction, we're not different. We do the exact same thing. We observe the exact same observances on two different days. Kemoshi made Purim Nirin Chalukim, Mikol Makom Einar Chalukim, V'Ne'esor Shalzeh B'Zeh. Okay, that's his presentation. Let's go to, we have time for more than one. Let's do one, just to be safe, okay? My favorite today.
Which one?
One, on page one, right? This is from the Pachad Yitzchak from Rav Huttner, and it is something special. Okay? Kushara Gemara, the Gemara has a kasha. Amai ein omrim halal b'purim. We don't say halal on Purim. Why don't we say halal on Purim?
Kriyat HaMegillah here, halal.
So what say, Malka, you want to give the shir here? Come. Malka's good. Malka's the best. The Gemara actually gives three answers why we don't say halal on Purim. One answer is we don't say halal on a neis shebechutz laaretz. Another answer is because Akati Avdei Achashverosh Hanum. We're still, you know, when we left Mitzrayim, we were not slaves to Paro anymore. But here, even with the miracle of Purim, we're still slaves to Achashverosh, right? But the third answer is Malka's answer we're going to see here. Tirutz HaGemara Kriyata Zuhi Halula. The reading of the Megillah is the Halal. Right? The Hainu. Shal Yedei Kriyata Megillah. Yotzim Chovat Amirat Halel. By reading the story, the miraculous story of the Purim, you are fulfilling the mitzvah of praising God with words of Halel through the Megillah. Now, Umuvuar b'Meiri, the Meiri was a Rishon, was an early rabbi. Davar Chadash Me'od, he says a tremendous chiddush. Dim ein biyado likrot et haMegillah machmat eiza siba. Let's say you're in a place where you don't have a Megillah. Can happen. It happens to people who travel all the time for business. Planes get canceled, whatever. A person could find himself, you know, somewhere in an airport and he can't get out, he doesn't have a Megillah. So what do you do? So you know what the Miri says? Say Hala. You don't have a Megillah, say Hala. Now, is this the halacha today? It's not the halacha today. And if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you'll see the Bir Halacha, the Mishnah Brura, and the Bir Halacha brings this Miri, and he brings a whole discussion about it, a whole paragraph about it. He says, if you want to be Machmir, he says, literally, what is the Halacha? What do you do if you're stuck? You take out a Chumash, and you read the Megillah from a Chumash. Right? You're not Yotze, the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, but at least you're Mekayim, somewhat of a Kiyum of Mikra Megillah. And if you want, you can say Halacha without a Bracha. Without a Bracha, but But if you want, you know, he brings an authority of one opinion. But that's not what we do. If someone doesn't have a Megillah, he reads a Megillah from a Sefer, right? But he doesn't have the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. This, we don't paskin like this Meiri. So it's a one opinion, one-off opinion. Shahari lohus kar b'poskim shumin in shal halal b'purim. Shulchan Aruch does not say you say halal if you don't have a Megillah. Ulakusha de milsa davar zeton hasbara. We have to understand why. Why not? Why not? Sounds good to me, right? The Gemara says that kriyasa zuhi ilula, that the reading of the Megillah is the reading of, saying halal is reading of the Megillah is the halal. So if I don't have a Megillah, let me say halal. So you have to understand, does that mean, how do you read that line? That the reading of the Megillah is its halal. Does it mean it's a substitute in place of, it's another kind of halal? Or is it that it's a different halal? Kriyasa zuhi ilula means that the halal on Purim is a different kind of halal, and that's what we're going to come up with. The Dehari mitoch divrei ha-gemara. Shekriyata zuhi ilula, when we come out from the Gemara that the reading of the Megillah is its halal. Yotze mefurash, what does it mean? Shirak al yedei kriyata Megillah hu mekayem chovano. Only by reading the Megillah have you fulfilled the mitzvah of halal. Imke mehecha tesi yipater mehalal al yedei shu onus Megillah. How in the world are you going to fulfill it by saying all the paragraphs of halal? But why? Why is it so? Why is it that halal for every other miracle is that long, boisterous shira of halal, and by Purim it's between the lines of the story of line of Esther, Hamalka, and Mordechai? V'nira b'zeh, says Rav Hutner, Dahari ha-mechayev shel amirat halal hu ha-me'ura shel ha-neis. There's an equation here. Neis brings halal. V'im kein, tivo shel ha-halal hu behetem le-tivo shel me'urat ha-neis. The quality of the halal has to be equated to the quality of the miracle. The im ha-neis hu neis galui, if it's a revealed miracle like 99.999 of Armin Nisim are revealed miracles, like Pesach, like Yitziat Mitzrayim, az gam amirat ha-halel hi amirat galuya, then the neis is a public neis. The halel has to be a public halel, a loud halel. Shel halel galui, a revealed halel. Aval b'neis nistar, Esther min ha-Torah b'nayin, shenemar anochi aster aster. A hidden miracle. What is a hidden miracle? The neis of Purim is a hidden miracle. If you came from Mars, someone came from Mars and you gave him a Megillas Esther to read, he wouldn't see the miracle here. He'd read a story, wouldn't see it. God's name isn't mentioned once in the Megillah. It's a hidden miracle. At the end, when you finally get to the end, you realize, something is going on here between the lines. And that's the hidden halal. By reading the Megillah, you read it's a hidden halal. Az amirat ha-halal hi amirat b'itkasya shel halal ganuz. The halal is a recitation of a hidden halal. By reading the Megillah, you're saying halal between the lines. For a hidden miracle, it has to be a hidden halal. Kriyata zuhilula. And only kriyata, only the reading is the halal. Ve'ena kavon, it doesn't mean b'zeh the ha-megillah hi bimkom halal. It's a bimkom. It's a bimkom, right? So if you don't have it, go back to halal. Ela ha-megillah hi min halal bifnei atzmo. The Megillah is a totally different halal experience. The hainu halal tamun mi bifnim, a hidden halal. B'toch kriyat ha-megillah mi b'chutz. Outwardly the reading of the Megillah, inwardly the recitation of halal. Va'asher al-kein, therefore, im hu anus al-kriyat ha-megillah. If a person is an anus, he is in a situation where he can't, you know, for nothing that he did, but he can't, hari hu anus gam al-halal. If he's an anus for the mitzvah of Megillah, he's the anus for the mitzvah of halal. He can't say halal on Purim either. Okay? That's a...
Yishat kolach.
No, yishat kolach to the Maran. Rav Hutner, Zatzeh, Tzadik, Bekodesh, Livracha. Okay, one more piece. Do we have time for one more piece?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, quickly then, let's go to three. This is also Rav Hutner. Okay? This is also Rav Hutner. Al tidami b'nafsheich lihimalek. You recognize those words? Who said that? Mordechai said it to Esther. He said to Esther, now's the time to act, Esther. And if you don't act now, don't think that you're going to be safe. If Klal Yisrael is in danger, you're in danger. Al tidami b'nafsheich lihimalek. Hadvarim nishmaim kechshad mechuar al Esther Amalka. This sounds like an awful indictment on Esther. How could Mordechai speak this way to Esther? How would he think for a minute that Esther is going to think she's going to save herself and not Klal Yisrael? What's he trying to tell her? Right? Chashad kezehu habina nimnet. It doesn't make sense. Impossible that he suspected Esther of being selfish. Right? Ela shemahalach einin kahu. This is how we understand it. He uses a basic principle, important principle in tefillah, in davening. Hamitpalel ba'ad chavero. If a person davens for a friend, let's say Nebuch, somebody has lo aleinu, a friend who's not well, and he, the mitpalel, the davener, also has the same illness. He's gonna pray for that other person rather than for himself. Then he's gonna be answered first. Now, how does that work? How does that work? So he explains how it works. Neshiyesh omek tahom. You know there is a great difference between a stama tefila, stama davening, and a davening that comes from a broken heart. We mentioned last week that there's nothing more whole and nothing more complete than a broken heart. So here, there's nothing more tefila, no tefila better than a tefila that comes from a broken heart. We know from the rabbis, et adifut koach ha-tefila gnuzam Madrega Shalev Nishbar. We know what the rabbis say about the great level of a prayer that comes from a broken heart. A person who needs a certain thing, he needs a refuah, and he's got a broken heart. The kirbo. Mitoch bakashat Yeshua. Hare yesh biyado kinyan shel koach tefillah nisgav. He is the owner of a tremendous ability to have God answer his prayer. A person who has a broken heart and is broken because of his illness, and wants to relate to God, and ask for this to be removed. He is the possessor of a diamond. Ve'oto adam, and that person, hamitpalel b'kovel zeh l'tovat chavero, but he takes that diamond and gives it to his friend. He davens to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam for that healing, not for me, but for him. Hari hu lokech et kinyano zeh, takes his diamond, u'mitnadev oto l'chavero, and he gives it to his friend. Hamitpalel b'ad chavero, in other words, even though he needs it himself, he gifts that prayer, that diamond prayer. Would you think for a minute that in God's world, in God's infinite chesed verachamim, that he should lose that diamond for himself? Obviously not. Obviously not. That's the pshat. B'nigvat levavo natan schut zeh l'chavero, that he keeps it, he gets answered first. Because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam doesn't operate that way. V'zehu pesha davar ha'orah shel Mordechai l'Esther. And that's what's going on here with Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai wanted to remind Esther of a very important thing here. Of course he didn't suspect Esther of being concerned only for herself. God forbid. Al tidami b'nafshet lihimalei. Don't think you yourself will be saved. You better start davening for yourself. Kolomar, tefilateich al Knesset Yisrael. Your prayer for Knesset Yisrael, for the Jewish people, tavod dafka, will only be successful mitoch ha'akara, through the awareness shegam atzricha lo to'adavar, that you need it, that you also need salvation. Right? So this is not an indictment. This is a beautiful statement from Mordechai. Esther, I want to remind you that your tefillah for Knesset Yisrael will smash through the heavens, will break through the heavens, if you recognize that you need it yourself, and you don't daven for yourself. Obviously, she's not going to daven. It's just the opposite. It's not an indictment of Esther. It is the pinnacle of Esther's tzidkus, that he's reminding her, remember this principle, that you need it too when you daven for Klal Yisrael. I.e., you need it and you're not going to daven for yourself, you're going to daven for Klal Yisrael. Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. That was the idea of what, that's what Mordechai told us. Okay. Freilichim Purim, Purim Sameach, Simchas Purim.